Hey, Jim Vanosky with Manufacturing Talks here. Okay, so how does a guy come from appearing on Broadway, singing, dancing, being on General Hospital, and then go into industry and launch his own AI-based software business services company? Well, you're going to find out. His name is Michael Lynch. He's here with us, and we're going to be talking to him in just a minute here on Manufacturing Talks. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talks with Jim Vanosky. Industry has a million cool stories, and Jim talks to the movers and shakers who are making them happen. Let's dive in.
PYS Media, your digital media relations agency. Public relations, website design, digital marketing. You get found by the customers and talent who need your solutions. You get media placements in top publications, the best job candidates coming to your website, a digital presence that gets you found by the right people. Call 616-298-8798 to get started today.
Hey guys, welcome back to Manufacturing Talks. I'm Jim Vanosky, your host. Thanks for joining us. I've got Michael Lynch with me today. He is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Praxy. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
It's good to have you here. I got to say, one of the hooks that said, yeah, I got to have this guy in my show. Your background's very different from mine. You came from...
You're smarter than I am, but...
but you're more entertaining.
Yeah, I can be on the stage better, maybe. Yeah.
You came from, let's see, you were on Broadway in Les Miserables, and yeah. You were in Fiddler on the Roof. And you were in General Hospital, I just found out right before I got on.
It's hard to tell, but I used to be very good looking.
And so I've got to hear, I'm going to throw it to you to tell about yourself, but I definitely want to hear how you go from that stuff to running this AI-equipped business solutions software provider.
It's a crazy story. So I always start with my mom because she was actually her job title from memory was computer. Her job title was computer, and she worked at White Sands Missile Base.
Cool.
And so she's very smart. And we were, you know, first, because I'm old, we were the first kids on the block with computers and, you know, learning how to do Visual Basic and all that kind of stuff. And so got exposed to computers very early, but I could sing and I thought it was great because, you know, the opposite sex seemed to like that. So I went off to music school and then I started doing Broadway shows and television shows. And then the internet happened. I was literally sitting backstage in my dressing room doing Les Miserables, which, you know, for a lot of people is the greatest thing that ever happened. It was awesome. But I was, you know, I've always been kind of interested in the next thing. And I was reading this article in Time Magazine about the internet coming. And I thought, wow, I got to get involved in this. So I got the show in Los Angeles and General Hospital. And then I started spending time in my dressing room trying to figure out the internet and what was going to happen. And decided to start a company. But I didn't want to use my own money because I didn't know anything about it. Because all I'd ever done is sing and dance.
So also smart.
I walked into this company that was making computer games that I'd heard about in the area and told them I'd work for free. And they were like, oh yeah, free's good. And so I came in and they were a bunch of Hollywood guys. They really didn't know anything about computers. And so within a year I was running production and we built all kinds of products for Sony, Bandai, Disney, and others. And then we went public. And so I learned the entire process. I mean, all the mistakes you can make, bad management, everything else. Learned the entire process to manage and raise funds and go public. And so I kind of got an on-the-ground MBA, which, you know, was really lucky and fortunate.
Yeah, a real-world MBA.
Yeah, a real-world MBA, lucked out with that. Yep. And then started doing companies and raising funds. And then the last company before Praxy, we built and sold to SAP. And then I ran their Internet of Things division. And how I got into manufacturing was, the 3D gaming led me to 3D modeling, led to solid modeling and manufacturing and all that kind of stuff. So I got more and more interested in that side of thing. And our customer base was, you know, kind of the who's who of the aerospace companies and then sold to SAP. And the 3D technology ended up being the 3D technology. We licensed it to Adobe. So if you've ever seen 3D in a PDF, that was our stuff. Okay. And then we became the backbone of SAP's 3D. And then I ran the Internet of Things for a couple of years and then decided to start Praxy. And We can get into that. But basically, I saw a really big hole in how manufacturers operated and thought we could help them.
Well, so as a total aside, before I forget it, there's a guy I've had on several times. His name's Mark Mills. He's a physicist and thinker and just a genius who is also very funny. So we love him here. And he has a book called The Cloud Revolution. And in that book, I learned for the first time a month or two ago that your mom's job title existed and that the first computers were literally humans.
People, yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting. She said they would calculate the missile launches constantly. Yeah. And they would have a whole group of them checking each other's, you know, math so they could get it right. I mean, it's vague because I remember, I mean, I was the youngest and I remember these conversations about what she did. And it was, and she actually did not graduate. She didn't have a college degree.
Yep.
She was extraordinarily good at math. And at that time, they're like, you know, can you do that? It's sort of like now, you know, if you can program, they'll take you.
Well, and it's really interesting because that's actually getting news now, how there was that subset of, and it was a lot of women who did that job. And you hear so much about mathematics and programming being the sole, you know, ownership of men back then. And it wasn't true, but the women weren't heralded. And so they're finally getting their due.
Good movie with Kevin Costner and a great cast. I forget the name of the woman who starred in it, where it was a bunch of African-American women who were the calculating group. So she did apparently a very similar kind of job.
Yeah, interesting. So like I said, total aside.
But yeah, really cool.
I find that fascinating. And so your company, Praxi, it's a software company doing business solutions. So tell us a little more about what Praxi does.
Yeah, so when I was going to lots of different manufacturing companies, what I saw in every place, you know, we were with SAP, so we had our entire manufacturing suite. But regardless of the components that companies had, their ERP, their MES systems, et cetera, I saw just mountains of Excel being used. Mm-hmm. And for all kinds of process, your stand-up SQDC boards, your various scheduling, your various work order systems, just people, Excel's amazing. But the problem with it is, for two reasons, I thought it was hugely a problem. The reason you have a system, I mean, ERP used to be done in Excel too, but the reason you have these systems is so you can have dynamic uploading and data rolling and be able to respond in real time and all that kind of stuff. And Excel doesn't allow you to do that. And secondly, it's not a good on-ramp to going to AI. And so what we built is this, what we call a digitization platform. And the idea is that you can have whatever sort of various components or verticalized software you like, but that you need a solution that knits those together and allows you to build out very verticalized and unique additional processes around it so that you can get out of Excel. And to be able to do that, the only reason they're in Excel is because they don't have money to have their IT build it or to have somebody like SAP or other software companies build it, because those are substantial investments. So our platform had to be very inexpensive and very fast to be able to build these processes and be able to knit everything together. So that's why that was the genesis of the idea. And so this digitization platform allows you a strategy to kind of knit together all those, that takes you way beyond Excel and into the realm of AI as well.
So I got to say, you know, the Broadway thing was definitely the initial hook that caught my interest. The real hook from a business and manufacturing perspective was exactly what you just said around that whole business process being such an opportunity for automation. In manufacturing, we talk about automation and it's always the robots and the on-floor systems that do the jobs that used to be manual labor for humans doing it. But for a lot of manufacturers, that's really not even feasible yet, whether it's technology falling short or just not having the volume to justify putting in a robot, for example. But everyone has those business process hiccups, right?
And every company, you go into every manufacturer and the way they move goods around and everything is unique. The way the data they capture is unique. Their testing processes are unique. There isn't a software for their process.
Right.
And so they do it in Excel. And so that allows us to go in and automate all of those processes. The other thing that's often, if you think about digital transformation as a journey, it's half technology and half people. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the processes that are not digitized or come out of the whole Lean Six Sigma basis of process. Yep. You're trying to do a Gemba walk or a 5S process or whatever. Those are also sitting on paper or documents. You can't roll them up. You can't see what's going on. You can't track your metrics. You can't track your improvement. And so getting that infrastructure in that allows you to create a best practice the way your group wants to work And I would also say what's really critical is we work with the companies to design the processes with them. We don't go, here's your gimbal walk, do it this way. We understand how they do it. And then with our system, we can configure it to the way they do it almost, you know, very, very rapidly within a, we can build applications in days. And so that allows them to get the humans involved and be able to build the process going forward. So all the people understand it and can join the process as well. That's super critical.
Before we get too far down the road on the specifics of those applications, though, you've mentioned AI a couple of times. I mentioned it in the intro, and we've talked about it quite a bit on the show here. I'm trying to provide people a little education because, of course, it's such buzz right now, but I run into people so often who say, man, I hear about it. It feels like we're falling behind, but I have really no clue what it is or how it applies here.
Right.
So can you just kind of give us your definition of AI and why people should be focused on it?
Well, there's sort of two things to think about in manufacturing. I think historically, like when I remember when IoT was the buzz and that was my title, I ran IoT. Every manufacturing plant I went into, they said, we kind of been doing this for a while. It's not a new thing to us. Right.
Yeah.
The same is true with AI on some level. And that when I was doing IoT 10 years ago, we were doing vibration analysis, you know, for predictive maintenance and all that kind of stuff. That was a form of AI. The change is the large language models, which have been applied to kind of every problem in AI. That allows a much greater breadth of solutions you can drive. So all that being said, I wouldn't worry about the old AI that you're probably already doing it. I would say, how do you use large language models? The name of our company, Praxy, actually comes from a Greek word, praxis, which means the practical application of knowledge. Yep. And so we focus on like, how do you actually make this stuff useful? And so if you think about what large language models do today, they're predictive engines. They basically predict the next word. They'll predict what ought to be in the image. They use the same methodologies to do that prediction, and they're getting better and better every day. Mm-hmm. So how do you use that kind of a capability in a pragmatic way? So what we've done is we've embedded AI into our entire platform. And what that means, if you think about going back to your digital transformation journey, first you have to get digital. So get out of Excel. You can't use AI. We call it Excel digital paper. It's great. It's a fantastic product, but that is basically it's not a scalable enterprise solution for things.
Right.
So you've got to digitize things. That's very straightforward with our platform. But then once you digitize things, I'll give you some examples of how we use it. So let's say you're doing something really simple like a gimbal walk. And for those out there who aren't familiar with gimbal walks, it means go see, and you go out and you talk with your employees and you try to figure out different categories of waste you might be able to remove. So you have these conversations and you're capturing the notes in a digital form on an iPad or something like that in our system. Mm-hmm. And you capture all those notes and then you say, you click AI, help me out. And what the AI does is it takes all those notes and it generates a summary that can be emailed dynamically out to all your management. So you did a gimbal walk and now it summarized it for you. So how much time did that save? You probably wouldn't even do it if you had to do it manually. Right. So everybody got a quick update if you want. Then you say, what would you do about this? Then the AI will give you a list of 8 or 10 ideas of what you might do about what you found in the gimbal walk. So it goes out to the internet, uses all the best practices, all the knowledge out there to give you a bunch of ideas. And research I've read said that, you know, AI is, you know, 2 to 3 times more creative than the average human being just because it can draw on this vast amount of information. So now you've gotten a summary. Now you've got a list of ideas of things that you can do. You can edit that. And then you can say, generate me a project plan. And it then takes the gimbal walk and it creates a project plan that you can then assign to your team. So you're taking what AI can do and turning it into value that helps the person at the point of work very pragmatically. If you're getting a scrap error code on, you know, what normally happens is the operator pauses and, you know, calls for maintenance. In our case, it'll send notifications out to the right people. And then using AI, it will bring up the things that the operator should do before it calls maintenance or the operator calls maintenance. So the other thing you can do is parse large groups of data and generate charts of your processes and where the processes take the longest and things like that. So basically, by building it into the business process engine, you have the opportunity to optimize work at the point of work with all this co-pilot-y kind of stuff. But you also have the ability to look at horizontally the information coming from the internet. There's a term I like called horizontal and vertical AI. So horizontal AI is going out to the world and finding what AI wants to tell you about what you're asking. Mm-hmm. Vertical AI is looking at your own company or own process data to try to optimize based on best practices that are learned inside your own company. So we're trying to do all of those to give the worker the most opportunity to optimize whatever process they're doing. And if you think of the entire lean process, you know, major principles and elements of the lean best practices, all of those can benefit from AI automation and augmentation at the point of work.
Interesting. I wrote those down.
Yeah, it's a good term, isn't it? I like it.
It is, yeah. And it's interesting because I've run across that conceptually. I've never heard it defined that way. So I'm gonna steal those terms.
It wasn't mine. I heard it on an article or podcast, and I just thought it was great.
So it is great. Well, thank you for sharing that.
The smart guy who did
well, that you're gathering data from the world, right?
Exactly. my best AI.
Yes. Okay. So as we look at what Praxi does, you talked about customizing tools for your individual customers. Now, do you have off the shelf solutions that they can start with?
We have the largest. Yeah, we have the largest library. I mean, I think to step back, what listeners need to think, or, you know, the way that I think about it is you've got your core systems and a hodgepodge of stuff you're trying to pull together to get visibility. What we do is we unify all that with a framework that you can connect to your core systems and then build out anything you need around it, whether those be work order systems, scheduling systems, or any of the, you know, lean best practices or Six Sigma or agile processes you want to track. We have, I think, the largest library of off the shelf, out of the box best practices that exists. So we often will start with that. But what I also find is that everybody's built these spreadsheets in a way they like. So you want to minimize the resistance. So we can actually embed their spreadsheets into the user interface of Praxi.
Oh, man.
So that they're working the way they've always worked, but they get the dynamic roll up and workflows and all that other stuff built in.
Now that is pure genius.
So we have forms as well as the spreadsheet parsing ability.
Because you hear, and this goes back decades, people doing the ERP crossover and starting up on a new ERP, and then they've got the ERP plus people retain what they had in Excel.
Right.
Still doing it the old way.
Exactly. Yeah.
You shortcut that. That's brilliant. So if we swing back to manufacturing specifically, you mentioned some specific tools you've got. And by the way, I'm impressed with your knowledge of all that manufacturing stuff. You were poo-pooing yourself.
Just in time learning.
I don't think that's right. You clearly have learned since you came on board our world.
Well, you know, as you get deep into these processes with your customers, you learn more and more. I mean, I'm learning all kinds of processes every single day. The SMED process, we built a product for somebody recently, you know. The amount of brain power that went into designing all these processes is amazing. And the fact that we can, you know, quickly digitize them, it's great to learn them all.
Oh, and that's a phenomenal point too. Yeah, you don't leave these very effective tools behind. You bring them into the modern world.
Yeah, and then once they're digital, you can add AI. So the pathway is get out of Excel, go digital, then add the AI, and we can provide that entire path, you know. And also bring your people. I think that's the other thing people forget. It's a journey.
Yep. So you actually just anticipated my next question, because I was kind of sitting there thinking as you were talking about all the computer power you can bring to bear. But I've got friends and fellow colleagues in the manufacturing world who are in a very rudimentary world right now, you know, not even doing a heck of a lot with computers, lots of manual labor on the floor. And I was going to ask, okay, so where do they start? And you really just answered it. Is they've got to get digital.
Yeah, and where we normally start with a manufacturer like that, and we have lots of smaller and some larger manufacturers, but, you know, if you're a 200 person or even a 50 person manufacturing shop floor with three or four lines, the first thing to do is get your sort of SQDC basic metrics put together. And we can digitize those and we can make it very simple where at the end of the shift, they can put in a report and you can derive from that, you know, all your unit metrics as well as your quality metrics and any of the other ones you want to drive, and just get that into your system. Daily reporting, rolling data up, start the digitization process. Then you can start adding other lean processes like, you know, any of the dozens and dozens of elements you might want to, across the lean processes. So I think the basic is that, you know, it's sort of the SQDC and the KPI roll up. And then from there, you can, you know, track safety, you can track anything you want.
Yeah. How much does it take hardware wise to get a foot in the door on this stuff?
Well, most companies we work with have basic, I mean, it requires basic computers. In fact, yep. you could exist with a few tablets. I mean, our stuff mm-hmm. works on tablets fine, and you can, you know, just start that way. What we normally see is the simplest implementation from a hardware standpoint is at the end of the line, you have a PC, small PC, and a big screen. Yep. And that big, you know, televisions now, big televisions are $500. You can put right. a TV, yeah. you know, the whole thing's $1,500 or something. And if you got three or four of those, what are you in for? Less than $5,000, and you've got your hardware. You do need the internet coming into the building. I haven't really run into very many places that don't have that now.
Right.
Yeah. But if you have that, you know, you're a few grand into some hardware. And then our systems are, you know, we start at full plants, usually small plants, but, you know, our basic systems are inexpensive. I don't want to quote this because it'll end up being on your thing and people think that'll be forever or whatever, but we try to do things 10 times as fast and 1/10 the cost.
Okay, good.
So,
well, and clearly
people find us, they'll go, wow, that's great.
Clearly your approach drives that real-time visibility of the data too.
It does, but cost is a really critical one. The reason everybody's in Excel is cost.
Yeah.
Because if you had unlimited money, you'd have your IT team build everything for you, or you'd sure. have a big software or a custom software to build it for you. So our pricing is designed to make the move from Excel palatable. It's not going to be as cheap as Excel, but you're like, mm-hmm. wow, it's 1/10 of the cost of what I thought it would be.
Yeah. Well, and it gets them out of the blocks toward not being left behind, right?
Well, yeah, there's a whole lot of cost things that people don't take. You know, the biggest one is where our IT team's going to build it. That is such a costly method. Because first of all, IT teams are overwhelmed. They're doing amazing work. And, mm-hmm. you know, just keeping the infrastructure going, the security, all that kind of stuff, especially with IoT security, big problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're overwhelmed doing that stuff. And then if you add software development is not really what IT teams should be doing. That's not their right. thing, really. And yep. so, and if you do a cost analysis, it always ends up more expensive to do it that way.
Yep. Well, and if you're doing internal development, then you're also relying on yourself to do continued updates to...
Yeah, and functional. If one of your key guys leaves, which is, you know, these guys are all in high demand. They're right. they're talented yes. people. You know, you got brittle code. Was it commented correctly? All that kind of stuff yep. goes right into it.
Yeah, good point. So again, going back to the manufacturers out there, if they're feeling like they're being left behind and they're going to come look at Praxi, what are the kind of out of the gates pieces that they ought to be thinking about and maybe preparing for that you would recommend that they go for first?
Yeah. So I think it's the core that we usually start with is that SQDC digital board, because everything can feed into that, but they don't have to start there. The other thing for them to think about is where their pain is, you know, where they've got. A good example, we were just at a customer where we digitized their engineering test environment for where their work orders, because the products come in at different times. They have tests that they can't launch without the tests, and the process they had was all emailing, you know, and mm-hmm. that was driven by the sales guy who had the biggest order would try to get the biggest priority to get his product yeah. tested, right? So, you know, that kind of a thing, which is hurting the ability to ship product, that's a really big problem, and it's all ad hoc, and it's in Excel, and it's in emails, and in documents. And so that kind of a thing can really benefit from getting structured. So, you know, starting at the sort of SQDC level, but then also these core engineering work processes that are really opaque. They can't see, they can't manage. If they have any of those that they're running in Excel, we can solve those in a month. We'll have a complete system up and running.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, as you look at you and your company, where are you headed? What are the big opportunities coming down the pike?
Well, I mean, you know, to me, there's a couple. One, I think we have a terrific platform. I don't think there's anything like our platform. There are beautiful products, and I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I see beautiful products every single day, and software guys are making amazing things. But everything in the market is built traditionally, meaning it's got a relational database with standard logic and standard user interfaces. And if you want to make modifications, you can. You add a field, and we've all used software like that.
Yeah.
Our software doesn't work like that. We digitize your process, and I won't talk about how we do it, but because of the way we built our platform, we can digitize and build applications in days. So that allows us to make things really inexpensive, et cetera. So now that we've got that platform, you know, for us, it's scaling the company is the big thing that we're working on right now. But, you know, technologically, and where I see the big opportunities, I think the verticalized AI is a really interesting opportunity, because, you know, going back to that process of an error code, you know, coming off a line, not only can we go out to the world and say, here's the kind of things that you know, AI is saying you should try, but we can interrogate the data that's in the system and say, here's all the fixes that have been worked on this kind of problem in your environment, et cetera. So actually gaining intelligence of the environment, or parsing through the data of the company and identifying areas of opportunity where we can optimize through using AI to build new business processes. So I think those are really big. And then the one that has nothing to do with our company that we talked a little bit about before starting was the onshoring thing. I just feel like two really interesting things, you know, the fact that we're going to be moving massive amounts of manufacturing to the States and to the continent, to North America, that's great opportunity. But secondly is that I remember 15 years ago when Hyundai and those car companies were starting up all their plants, and everybody was like, wow, mm-hmm. like everything was roboticized, and, you know, it was amazing. And yeah. So I feel like we have the opportunity. We're not going to just go take the brick building down the street and restart it the way it was. We're going to build it with new stuff. And I feel like Praxi is part of that new stuff that will allow people that total flexibility to build the infrastructure the way they need it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a really macro trend that we're really excited about. And I think that bodes well for us and all the other folks helping manufacturers.
Yep. And you once again anticipated where I was going, because I was definitely going to get back there. Michael and I were having an excellent conversation before we got on about reshoring and how there are these geopolitical happenings that are providing oomph behind bringing production back to America and our immediate environs. And you're right. We're not going to go back to the way it was in the 50s with lines staffed with a bunch of manual workers doing everything by hand. It's going to have to be super efficient, and really even more efficient than often what we're replacing, because our labor costs and other costs are higher here.
Yeah. And I think that the with automation, and I think this is already becoming true, the labor cost offset, you know, from the more developed countries in Asia is not that great.
Right.
And the other thing I would say that I think really has to happen is, you know, I think, like, we talk about my background. I came out of singing and dancing and show business and acting and all that kind of stuff. I find it amazing every time I go into a plant how people make stuff. But I do feel like young people outside of Tesla are not enamored with manufacturing necessarily yet.
Right.
And part of that is you go into some of these plants and everything's gray paint and it doesn't seem like a great place to work, you know? And so I think one of the things that manufacturers here have to do is they're going to have to, you know, younger people like technology and they like the latest stuff. And so they have to provide a technically engaging environment using Windows 95 versions. I was on a phone the other day with a customer who's using a Lotus Notes based, you know, product. Like, that's not going to, you know, creates other problems, not beyond just the technical ones. So I think that, you know, the making manufacturing cool again, or as a career that's going to be really important and great, I think is part of what's got to happen. And I think we can do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we've made a lot of progress. We've talked about that here on the show in a number of episodes, how it's certainly not the old school, you know, looks like a coal mine kind of thing. But you're right as well. Too many places still, it's dreary and dark and not really appealing. And to compete, we're going to have to change that.
Yeah, it's cultural change, and it's a hard, it takes time.
Yep. Old crusty guys like me have to put aside what we had to come up through and say, yeah, it's got to be a lot cooler and more fun.
Well, I think all of us are starting to understand the value of fun. Like,
absolutely. You know,
yeah. I mean, good. We're a lot less formal. Like, we're doing, like, I remember when I was at SAP, you know, you had to walk around in a $1,000 suit and everything was so formal. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately customers are, they want that execution, but they don't want that formality. They want to, you know, that business is moving to a place where, you know, red tennis shoes and fun. And I don't mean for the sake of fun, but for the sake of creativity and problem solving. And let's, you know, let's get after it, I think is where some of this cultural change has to come after.
Well, and it's life. I mean, we're spending at least a third of our time wherever we're working. It shouldn't be some place you hate to go, right?
No, exactly. Yeah. And people should enjoy it. I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and I wanted to wrap up with this. You mentioned you came from acting and singing and dancing and Broadway and all that. Any plans for entertainment in the future?
You know, not for me. I mean, you can see actually right back there, my guitar is,
popping in and out.
It's a guitar. So I've been really focusing on playing guitar the last few years and a little bit of spare time. And so, you know, maybe I'll get up on a stage and do some guitar playing at some point, but I don't think I'm good enough yet. Or at least I'm not good enough that I want to do it.
Yep. Got it.
Well, we'll see. It's fun.
Good deal. Anything else you want the folks to know before we finish up here?
No, just young people come into manufacturing. And if you guys do have those problems, I can give you my email address and all that kind of stuff. It's michael.lynch@praxie.com, or you can go to praxie, P-R-A-X-I-E, .com and, set up a meeting with one of our team. We'd love to talk with you.
We'll put all that in the description of the web show and podcast so people can see it. Michael Lynch, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it.
And of course, thanks to all of you in the audience for joining us. This was a fun show, and I can't promise they're all going to be as much fun as what Michael brought us today, but they're all going to be fun. So we're here at least every Tuesday, and I think we're now going to go Tuesdays and Thursdays. I got so many people wanting to be on the show. It's totally cool. Check it out. Come back. We'll be here. We'll do more shows and have lots of fun. So long.
Thanks for tuning in to Manufacturing Talks with Jim Benoski. Watch for new episodes dropping every Tuesday. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe.